The following is an arrival address by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on November 29, 1986 in Atlanta, Georgia.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukakaro tivacha lang pangulang gayate giring at kipata mahang bande Sri Gurung dinatari nang padamananda marhavam Sri Chaitanya Swaram. Ajanu lambita juja bujo khano kabodato sankirtanai kapitaro kamalayatakshu. Vishwambaro Dijabaro Jagadarma Palo Bande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro Jai Sri Nitai Gaura Chandra Ki Jagannath Subhadra Balaram Ki Sri Sri Radha Madana Mohana Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki. After our little Rath Yatra ceremony here, then via London I went back directly to India. Had a big festival in Mayapur for the Ras Purnima, the full moon of last month, 12 days ago, was the full moon on which Krishna had Ras Leela so many thousands of years before. So near about 200,000 people came through Mayapur for the festival, including some minister, justice of the Supreme Court of the state, and the justice stayed overnight. He actually, hearing the Bhagavatam class, he started crying. I've never experienced such an understanding. It's pretty. Very sober-minded person, but he actually felt moved. So, when I went on a quick tour of Bangladesh and Nepal, in Bangladesh, we have a temple that I'm constructing with donations from here and New Orleans, for Vasudev Dutta, and the temple is completed. Took pictures of it. I don't know if we have a film. It's 99% completed. We're going to install the deities February 3rd on Pundarik Vidyanidhi's appearance day, when there's about 50,000 people come there for a festival. After Lord Chaitanya left Navadvip, then the devotees in Navadvip felt they were so used to having Lord Chaitanya's daily association. So at one point, either when he left Navadvip or when he left the world, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, don't know exactly which point, but at one level, he went back to East Bengal in the district of Chittagong. And Vasudev Dutta and Mukunda Dutta accompanied him soon after, and they took their residence just a furlong. Was that thing coming? Is that Alexander? That's it. All right. That's it. So they went there and took to get a little Vaishnava association. They built their house nearby to Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So Mukunda Dutta's house is still there, the original temple, but it's a little bit dilapidated condition, but it's still there. But the Vasudev Dutta house was donated to us, but we tore down the house because it was all broken. It was a new construction which had been destroyed during the Mohammedan riots to the freedom of Bangladesh in 1971. So all the windows are gone, the roof was damaged. So we took it down and we started excavating to build a new temple. When we excavated, we found the original foundation of Vasudev Dutta's temple. Little ancient 500, there's different types of bricks they used 500 years ago, like in Vrindavan, very small ones. So on top of that original foundation, we constructed this temple exactly the same size. We don't have a picture, we don't know if it's the same shape, but we did it in ancient Bengali style, with terracotta, fired, carved clay as the facing. And Nityagaur deities are going to be, wooden deities are going to be installed there on the Pundarik Vidyanath's appearance day, Saraswati's appearance day also. So, before it was been on it, now the facing is up and they just have to put on the steel grills and a few things and it's ready to go. They have to build a little kirtan hall in front of it. So that was very nice to see. Sometime when the devotees, if they come to Mayapur, they can take a visit of Chittagong and see the Pundarik Dham. It's very beautiful. From there I went to Kathmandu, where also we purchased some land in the Kathmandu Valley and dedicated it in the name of the deity. Actually, in Bangladesh, ISKCON has been registered. Before, we were working under a different society who was kind of sponsoring our ISKCON activities. But now, legally, ISKCON is registered in Bangladesh, International Society for Krishna Consciousness of Bangladesh. So, that's... although it's an Islamic country, but still somehow we got registered. That's nice. Very encouraging. So in Nepal, there's two rivers which are very famous, the Bagmati and the Vishnumati. The Bagmati goes by the ancient temple of Lord Shiva that the Pandavas visited, known as Pasupatinath. And the Vishnumati is another very famous river which comes from the lotus feet of Vishnu and comes down the side of one mountain and through the valley of Kathmandu, which is all in the Himalaya foothills. Again, it's a very scenic place. So we have land which is just after the mountain where the Vishnumati river is coming down. And then on the other side, there's another small river coming that joins into the Vishnumati. We're at the join of these two small little rivers, just 100 meters from a principal road. We have a strip of land to make our own road to our property. But it's very scenic. You can see the entire valley of Kathmandu. So now. They're ready to start their project there. For years you're trying to get land. Now we have land. So then from there I just came back with a couple stops just to break the journey in Europe. Actually in Italy, the devotees are put through a lot of tests recently there. But actually, they're quite enthusiastic to carry on with the preaching, and they have a very nice restaurant, which is very well decorated, and it's always crowded with people. In fact, on the weekends, people line up to go into the restaurant, they told me. It's a very nice, nicely done up, with a little radio outlet, which they only use on special occasions. The main radio is at Villa Vrindavan, which is the third largest radio in number of listeners in Italy. So when I was there at 8 o'clock in the evening till 9, I gave a question and answer over the air. It's a regular program they have. And people were calling in from all over the country. I mean, from Rome, from Milan, from Bologna, all kinds of places. And the questions they asked were shocking. I mean, they read Prabhupada's books, like someone said that, well, now the first Vishnu is, let me see if I have it right, is the Mahavishnu, and then he expands into the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. But now, and then, what I wanted to know was, if Brahma does all the creation, then what does the Mahavishnu have to do with it? Something like that. I was just like, but I mean, they had read that much that they could ask. So then I explained that, no, the Mahavishnu creates the entire Mahatattva, the material ingredients, and the universes. And then the Garbhodakshaya enters. From the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, the Brahma comes, and he, in turn, does the secondary creation, taking the existing building blocks and building up the planets and bodies and species and things like that. But, I mean, they ask quite, you know, some very philosophical questions, some very topical. A popular question was, of course, Jesus Christ, whether he was an incarnation. Someone called up and said, well, Prabhupada said that Jesus Christ was a Shaktavish avatar. And we know that Prabhupada is also an empowered preacher. So what's the difference between Jesus Christ and Prabhupada? Quite. These aren't like devotees is calling up to spike it. These are actually their listeners. I mean, they're. It's quite. To have that type of preaching, it's inspiring. It makes, and it's simply, it doesn't cost, it only costs them to start it about $20,000. Now, of course, they've invested, must be quite a few chips, but they do it by relay stations. Just in their temple, they have a little microwave disc and it bounces off the top of some mountain nearby, and from there it goes to other mountains and covers 8 different repeating stations all over the country. Except for one place has a separate, they just send them the recording, recorded programs. Because they're too far, Sicily or something like that. So, that was very nice preaching. They have Radha Krishna deities, Radha Bajabala, Big Jagannath, and Anitai Gaur. Not medium size, you think. How big were the Nityagor? Medium size. Not as big as our Nityagor Chan. But Jagannath is a bit bigger. Huh? Made of what? The floor is heated. So even though it's cold, it's nice to sit on the marble floor. And the most interesting thing was that everyone's geared up. Of course, everyone's already started their marathon, basically. And they're doing mainly book distribution. In fact, the devotees go out in dhotis, and they sell full sets of their sets, which are about 10 books. And they go... Those who say someone can't afford a whole set, they buy a part set, and then they stay on their list, and then next marathon they hit them up again to buy a few more books and eventually fill up their set. What they do is they have a nice plastic tray with about 5 little burfi or laddu, and they buy these little white papers that they put chocolates in, and they put the liquid hot laddu, when it's still the basin laddu, they kind of pour it in there and it just solidifies, you know, when it's still hot. And then they put that in a little plastic tray, wrap it with cellophane, a little ribbon, and they give that to the people when they come. And so, you know, the people say, right away, no, no, we're just coming here to give you, this is a presentation from our, we live in Dava Natural Farm. And so the people say, oh, it's very nicely packaged. Thank you very much. And then, you know, we give them a few flyers and then say, we'd like to show you some things. After getting the prasad, it's hard for them to say no. So then they see the books, and then a lot of times the people actually take a book and give a donation, buy a whole set. They like. So they then there's some devotees to go and do a bowl collection, get donations of food, grains, and things. So very nice that they could do. I told them they were very fortunate because in America and Australia and a few other places, it's not always possible to just simply do only book distribution. Like in Australia, it's illegal to sell books. You can give them away, you can't sell them as a religious institution. I don't know the intricacies of the law, but apparently that's some kind of law like that. So they have to do other type of sankirtan and buy books and then distribute. I told them they're very fortunate that they can, that people are receptive enough that they can also, they'll buy books at a reasonable markup so that they can maintain all their projects by book distribution. So Lord Srila Prabhupada actually, he's given us the formulas for spreading Krishna consciousness, for, actually he's already spread it in so many places. We have to just see that we can maintain at least what he's given us, and if we can expand it, then that's even better. The Prabhupada gave us the formulas of practicing Krishna consciousness. So we have to become expert in implementing and being good followers of Srila Prabhupada, that went through such an effort to write all of these books, these transcendental literatures, which are a constant source of inspiration and guidance for all of the devotees. Actually, Vyasadeva, of course, had written down all the Vedas, but in Sanskrit, they weren't accessible to the people in the Western world. It was Prabhupada who has taken the Sanskrit literatures and present them to us in English and subsequently in other contemporary languages, so that the people around the world could get the benefit. So our link with the Vyasadeva is actually to Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, there's no other bona fide or acceptable translation of these literatures. But not only did he translate, but he also wrote posted purports which apply the wisdom of the Vyasadeva. They apply that to the modern age, to this Kali Yuga's present situation. So that's why we're actually unlimitedly indebted to Srila Prabhupada. Not only for that, but so many reasons, but even for that, even for one reason, we're unlimitedly indebted, what to speak of so many other reasons are there as well. But so, if we can understand Prabhupada's teachings and if we can give the teachings to others, that is the perfection. So we're discussing in some of these places about how offenses are very dangerous. We should avoid committing Vaishnava offenses, Vaishnava aparadas, and how, apart from Vaishnava aparada, knowingly, unknowingly, naturally, we'll be committing so many offenses in devotional service, and this obstructs our relishing love for Krishna. So, one way of counteracting that is by preaching, by giving people Krishna consciousness. Because by helping someone else, then Krishna reciprocates and helps you to cross over your obstacles. So it's a special mercy that Krishna gives us to be able to participate in the Sankirtan movement. by taking the fruit of love for Krishna from Lord Chaitanya, and then it's such a wonderful fruit that even you bite into it, it simply multiplies and there's more to give out to others. It's not like you eat it and there's nothing left. Sorry, I got my fruit, I ate it, now tough luck, you know. Maybe next life you'll get one. No, you can take the fruit, eat it, and it's still whole. In fact, you can give it to someone else and you still have it. In fact, yours start to multiply. The more you give, the more you get. So, that way it's a very great benediction. We just have to keep our vision fixed on the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada serving the Vaishnavas, Guru Parampara, and by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, the movement can go on expanding. Krishna gives us opportunities to preach Krishna consciousness. We simply have to be expert in taking them. The Pope visited Bangladesh the day I was there. And it's amazing, you know, of course he's the head of state, technically speaking, but they accorded him such a big reception. They had, you know, all the military, navy, air force, dress squads out there, you know, for their, what do you call that, review. And the president of the country came and greeted the Pope, all the Catholic schools, and had their representative. He gave a mass in a big auditorium. About 30,000 people came. There were only 100,000 Catholics in Bangladesh. It was his first visit. But they must give some aid there or something. They have a big embassy. And then when he was leaving, what they made is a huge 30-foot-high dove out of plywood or something. It's on wheels, maybe 30 feet high and 30 feet long, kind of a big dove, quasi two-dimensional, that said, "Long live Pope John Paul II. And then down the way into the city, every corner they had pictures of the President of Bangladesh and the Pope, banners and everything on the street. I was just thinking that, unfortunately, Prabhupada couldn't be accorded such receptions, official receptions, when he was president, but actually he was due it. But unfortunately, as a much greater ambassador of pure love for Krishna, in the future, as Krishna consciousness expands, it will be nice to have that type of a status where actually they're able to go everywhere and they're accorded the official kind of reciprocation and everything. They have their own Vatican City. But actually in the world there's not less followers of Krishna. It's just a question of, and there's not a potential, it's unlimited. But the devotees also went to Assis. There was a prayer for peace in November or October. The Pope called ecumenical all faith prayer for peace in Assis, Saint Francis of Assis. Assisa. So the 3 to 4 devotees were there participating. Apparently the Pope started the prayer by saying, you know, now we have to all unite in Jesus Christ. So then one Indian devotee was there, who was like a kind of friend of Krishna, was very active. He said that this is ecumenical. Why only there's so many other faiths here? Why only in Jesus, in the Father, in Krishna, in the Supreme? So then the Pope got shook up and readjust. But Of course, we accept Jesus as our spiritual master. As our spiritual master. But in a different perspective. So, but the Pope did invite me. I was wondering whether the devotees had gone. So I saw it. They did go. They were invited. So we were part of the inner group there. But just feeling that if we could have given Prabhupada that type of reception. Even now in the West, this was the year, the 500th anniversary celebration of Lord Chaitanya. We were supposed to have seminars in the universities, different functions, all kinds of programs, taking advantage of the 500th anniversary. In fact, they have been having a few such programs in Europe, where they've invited some speakers from India, and they've had some professors in different universities sponsor it. And they had a pretty good success, at least amongst the universities and things like that. But as it seems here in America, it's like sleeping giant. As far as the 500th anniversary goes, I don't think anybody's thinking about it. And that's very unfortunate, because it's not going to come by again. So it'd be nice, maybe during this semester, to try to organize up till March some kind of awareness or program or discussion, philosophy or theology or whatever, some seminars on Lord Chaitanya's 500th anniversary. And take advantage of this anniversary year. We have pictures of the Prime Minister and the President of India inaugurating the celebration in India. So it's definitely an official. There's also a film published by the Indian government on Lord Chaitanya, which was mainly filmed in Mayapur Chandavari Mandir. Amongst 80% practically. And directed, and the whole script was gone over by different devotees. So that by calling up the embassy, they lend those movies free of charge, or just maybe you have to give a deposit. By somebody pushing them, they can bring that film from India and provide it for us. And it's their government film. But I haven't seen it, but I heard it's quite good. We have Yadubar's film also. Between the two, there's definitely material to show. I mean, that film's the government film, but it's made by a person who's a life member of ISKCON. He's the producer for it, and he constantly talked with us. His definite objective, and ISKCON, without being named, is very prominent within the film. It's like the just a few flash of Lord Chaitanya's movement is all over the world. Maybe after the marathon, if somebody's doing college program, they could take advantage of this anniversary. Of course, Prabhupada said that, well, for us, every year, we worship Lord Chaitanya every year, every month, every week, every day, every moment. You know, it's a big thing for the materialists, because that means once in a lifetime they get together and they glorify Lord Chaitanya and they forget about him for 500 years or another century or something. But for us, you know, we're always worshiping. So in that sense, it doesn't have any like spiritual significance. It's just an opportunity to exploit that, because it's a tradition that has come up in the modern world that on certain hundreds, fifties junctures they put on festivals. So this is some of the highlights, my quick visit realizations. Any questions? I came here because we're having a meeting in Dallas for the BBT and the GBC North America. So for attending that, I came. If any of the meetings end early, then I'll come back and stay over here. Sometimes if anyone needs. See, I don't know how long the meetings will go late into the night. Any questions? Yesterday. In the rest of the world, yesterday was Ekadasi. I don't know. I mean, here we have our own calendar. Which one do we observe? So today's Ekadasi according to that? Yeah, that's what they're observing in London. Oh. He adjusted it for the... When I was in Strasbourg, I stopped it to see the largest, tallest cathedral in the world, they told me. And there they have a big clock which has every 15 minutes it says a changing body exhibit going on. The first 15 minutes of the hour, there's death with a sickle ready to chop. He has a bone in his hand and he rings bells at the, on the hour. Boom, boom. And the first 15 minutes, a little child comes by. When it's a half hour, then it's a youth. 45 minutes, it's the first quarter is a little child. Second quarter is a youth. Third quarter is a middle-aged man. And the fourth quarter is an old man. And again, the new hour starts again. And then at 12 noon, they have a spectacular show where everything spins and the 12 apostles go and pay dandavats to Jesus. It's all a huge clock. The clock's about 70-80 feet high. It has the planets, astrological signs, moon cycle, sun cycle, all kind of things going on. And then at 12 noon, when the apostles are coming, when the first three go by, then a cock starts flapping his wings on the top of this huge clock. A clock is like a temple with a clock face. Then the cock crows three times. By the time the cock finished crowing three times, and all the 12 apostles go by. Meanwhile, the death is ringing the bells, and the 12 known is announced. So I was thinking that how that I'd like to make an exhibit in our Chaitanya World proposed project in Mayapur for time. But some idea like that, a changing body going and a cycle, it's very interesting. And this clock was made in 1276. It's been repaired three times. Last repair was done, I mean the part, major refurbishment was done in 1472, it's still going on. It's quite a, I mean that was before Lord Chaitanya appeared in the planet. And this gave some nice ideas on having a Vedic. They didn't explain, I mean, you could easily adapt it because it was like a very short changing body. You just add a few figures and you'd have the whole, you could have the, instead of doing it once a day at 12 noon, you had to pay 4 francs to watch that. You could have like every hour a little exhibition of time. It fits in probably one of the Vedic planetarium in Mayapur. But along with the planetarium, time could also have its own pavilion. But even in the Christian church, time had played such an important part that right in the cathedral they had this huge astrological clock. And in Vedic ceremonies, time is very important. Like when you do begin a ceremony, the Vedic custom is to do a sankalpa mantra, which is that you state that in Sanskrit. Now we're in the in the latter half of the life of Brahma, and his this year, this day of Brahma, within this day, which day, like the 21st kalpa of the third month of the 72nd year of Lord Brahma, to give the year and the day out. Then you give that in this day of Brahma, there's 14 manus, so we're in the manu of Vaibhaswata manu. Within that, his period, Then we're in this time. Now we're in the 28th Kali Yuga of Vaivasvata Manu. He has 54 Kali Yugas, 54 Yugas. You know, it's all. Then in the Kali Yuga, we're 5,076 years after appearance of Krishna, or 500 years after Lord Chaitanya. In the month, in the season, in the month, in the nakshatra, is the constellation, the rising sign, the lunar titi or day. Then, in this muhurta, a moment, here, then, so you cover the time, that's the first part of the sankalpa. So then it's now you are here. Then, where are we? We're in the universe of the four-headed Brahma, in the planet of Bharadvarsha, on this side of the Ilavritavarsha, the southern side of Mount Meru, on this. Then which part of the, in this planet, which country we're in, which state, which geographical area? And then you say, we're gathered here to do whatever it is, wedding, initiation, deity, that's the, we're here to do this, and then we request Krishna's blessing and chant, then after that other mantras are chanted. So time was a very important aspect of Vedic culture and all ceremonies. But the concept of time is, they're just showing the time in a basic. We have the time, right from the, much broader perspective of time, from the beginning of the creation of the material universe to its destruction. Of course, in the spiritual world, is eternal time. But in the material world, time is one of the energies of Krishna. It's Krishna. So it's important. So within that time that we're here on this planet, we should try to do as much devotional service as we can. And that will remain as our eternal benefit. Hare Krishna. Any other question? His birth site is 20 miles away, but he left his birth site, went to Navadvip, and there's a temple there, Mamagachi. I took the devotees and showed his deity. That's in Navadvip, but after Lord Chaitanya left Navadvip, then Vasudev Dutt also left Navadvip and went to be with Punarik Vidyanidhi. And then, instead of living at his birthplace, he lived right near Punarik Vidyanidhi. That's where the new temple is. Not that place in Mayapur where I showed the foundation. That has not been given to us. That's the foundation of Vasudev Dutta's original deity, which the deity is still there, but another temple nearby. And that temple possesses that land that we excavated, but they didn't give us to build a temple is a big project. So to build the whole temple from ground up, we like the right of puja and that should come over to us. So they haven't given that. They've been dragging their feet, so to speak. But the other one in Bangladesh, they gave us. They didn't give us Mukundas, so that's still in a dilapidated condition. But we'll give something. That's the original building. It's very amazing. It's very small, only about 20 feet high and about 12, 15 feet, but it's all ancient carvings and things. Anything else? How's everyone? Enthusiastically engaged in serving their lordships? Hare Krishna. Yeah.